Here we are, hitting up events, drinking our way through Chicago beer, and trying not to miss a thing.
Yeah, because, you know, got a cork popped out, boom, it flies like fucking 10 feet. We're like, yeah, let's do it.
You know, all you have to do is add some fruit, stir it up, and ride that milkshake wave.
Whenever I see him, I got to take a photo with the most decorated brewer in Chicago, Jonathan Cutler.
It'll be like the stuff you hear. You ever go to, every time you go to Floyd's, all the music sounds like this. Raw, raw, raw.
Sometimes you want a small beer, but really, you want a big beer.
You got to take in all those big, aromatic hops.
Hey, what are you doing this weekend? Waiting in line for a bottle release?
You should have never been a fad. The Black IPA is delicious.
Hey, and welcome to Chicago Beer Pass. I'm Brad Chmielewski.
Brad, what's up, man? I'm Nick White.
And I said we're going to get some Christmas ale on the next episode.
You know, and here we go, man.
Beguile Christmas ale.
You know, not that I'm a Christmas ale aficionado, but I would say this one flies under the radar as being very, very good.
Yeah, it's a malty, strong, robust.
Robust, indeed.
It doesn't, like, it's not heavily spiced or anything.
Maybe that's it, right? It's not a spice bomb. It's an ale brewed with cinnamon and bay leaves. How about that?
Oh, bay leaves.
I think bay leaves, I think like a stew, right?
Or like Thai food?
Yeah. That's interesting. That's a decision.
Yeah. But it does, it almost like warms you up, like maybe like a porter might. But yeah, it's a little sweeter.
Yeah. So it says European malts, American ale yeast. Best enjoyed alongside family and friends.
Nice. Here we go.
That's a good one. Yeah. I like that.
We might have had this last year or in years past on the show. We don't usually repeat beers, but this one might be a one we've repeated now.
Man, I was telling Brad in the pre-show, I had a Great Lakes Christmas Ale on draft, and I kind of wish I had it on bottle because on draft, at the place I was at, I didn't really care for it. So the fact that I can erase that memory from my head with a nice fucking Christmas Ale the next day is nice. Right.
I have a friend who, he loves Christmas beers, and he picks up everyone who can. He, like, stocks up as soon as he starts seeing it. So he usually has a ton at his house. And then when I was picking up some other stuff, I saw your favorite one, the St. Bernardus. It's in cans.
I know. I mean, I know it's better for the environment, and, you know, it's probably better for the beer. Something about the dark bottle, man. The dark bottle with the cork and the cage, you know. I was up in and I was at Firkin in Libertyville because I had to go to the day job last week, and that was the first thing I got because they serve it in the goblet.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and that's my guy.
I picked up some cans so we can drink it at some point.
We should totally drink it. Yeah, that's a good beer.
I'm not gonna turn it down, but it's just not as enjoyable.
I mean, you know, I think like having it in the bottle is always It's timeless, you know?
Sure.
And to be fair, I haven't had it in a can. But I just know that the feeling the bottle gives me, because the Belgian bottles are always just kind of, you know, noteworthy. They're heavy. They have the little bunt in the bottom of them.
Right, yeah.
You know, and they just, you know.
And the cake and cord, or cage and cage thing.
They're embossed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's nice. But the cans were just like a wrap. Like
See, it feels, it's literally more disposable. But
all right, we're gonna sip on this Christmas ale as we talk about a bunch of brew pubs we hit up and the latest Rev release.
Yeah, man.
Where do we want to go first? You want to go Rev, or our adventures?
We could dive. I think we could dive Rev.
Okay.
Rev is the next three. I gotta be honest with you, Brad. I think this is the best three of the year.
Man, the last three were
pretty good. So it was vanilla, blackberry, and straight jacket were the last three, right?
Yes.
Definitely vanilla and definitely blackberry thin. Mm-hmm. And probably straight jacket. But see, all right, so it's weighted because I think, for me, Ryeway is the best beer they make.
All right, so you got the Ryeway in the little four-pack here.
Yes. And then the new guys, Maple Jacket and Dark Mode.
Okay.
Maple Jacket, as the name implies, is straight jacket with maple.
Aged with maple syrup.
Maple syrup from... what is it, Chicago maple, or is it local crew?
There's local maple syrup.
Yeah, fancy maple syrup.
Okay.
You know, and I think they talked on the call, and you know how this is. They're very transparent about all the stuff they do. You know, cheers to them for doing that. Because I had a fucking Three Floyds coffee stout last week, and I have no fucking idea, you know, okay. what was going on with that. You know, it was good, though. But, you know, maple from Chicago. And then they could have, they're like, yo, it doesn't necessarily smell like the maple syrup, Mrs. Butterworth style that you put on your pancakes. And we could have done that, but what we really wanted to do was just kind of integrate the maple and the beer.
Okay.
You know, and if you do that, you know, if you go for like a maple extract, what you're doing is really, you're going for aromatics, but on the body, you're really just adding sugar to a beer.
Okay.
And that didn't work for them.
Was it Goose or was it Rev that did a beer that they aged in maple barrels?
I want to say I think Maple Deeth was finished in these maple syrup barrels.
Okay. I feel like it's like a blue can, right?
Yeah, Maple Deeth. Okay. Actually, one of the best cans they make, I think, okay. right? Because it's got the Canadian flag and it's got the skull, mm-hmm. the skeleton.
But that was Canadian maple. This is Chicago maple.
That's true. But Goose did do Special Number 4, if you remember that one. Right, so it was two years ago. It was they incorporated maple syrup barrels from Ohio, I believe.
Okay,
and it was Special Number 4. It was like an oatmeal stout with, you know, cinnamon and maple syrup, and finished in maple syrup barrels. Right. Yeah,
because you want to finish in the barrels, like you're saying, you're not going to get that sweetness from the maple syrup. Because if you're just using the barrel, you're just picking up maybe a hints of that.
Yeah, you're picking up hints of it, and then. I think what Brad was saying was like, if you really want true maple character in a beer, you know, you really want to put it in at the last minute possible. Right. So a super late addition of maple is what they were going for. Hmm. So, you know, I was telling Brad in the pre-show, man, when you drink this beer, it kind of feels like, you know, some meads are really nice, the like 4% meads, but you know, they're too thin. And then you get the bigger meads and they're delicious. But they're not carbonated like you want.
Oh, right. Okay.
So this tastes like a really big carbonated, well balanced.
Like drinking syrup.
Yeah. Yeah. When you drink those meads, it's like drinking syrup. Mm. This one doesn't have the sweet viscosity of the mead, but it has those mead like qualities to it in a barley wine. It's actually way more interesting than I thought it would be.
Okay.
Yeah. And I feel like it's fragile. I feel like that's something like that'll just turn into, I feel like that one will change really fast based on how they were describing it.
If you hold on to it, like if you open it. Hmm. Interesting. And then dark mode is milk stout aged in bourbon barrels.
Yeah. So last time they did this was
I've done this one before.
Was Mad Cow. What was it?
Eugene?
No, it was something Mad Cow. It was like Very Mad Cow.
Oh, okay.
Very Mad Cow was a milk stout they did a while back when they were in Bombers.
Okay.
Yeah. So this is their first milk stout since then. So they're done naming beers after diseases, you know, but they were a fan of the milk stout. So it's not Death Star. It's a different stout with like four different malts. I think it's got golden oats. It's got bitter chocolate malts. It's got caramel malt, and it's got a small amount of smoked maplewood malt.
Dash of maplewood smoked malt.
Yeah.
Dash.
So they were saying like a little bit, you know, they like Roush beers, and they actually kind of hinted that a Roush beer is coming up from Deep Woods some point. Okay. Maybe not this year, but it's kind of
like that, like a smoked, yeah.
Yeah. But they were like, you know, Roush beers are very polarizing, and because you could put a little bit of smoked malt in something, and it changes the thing completely.
That ham on rye from Three Floyds?
Pipeworks, somebody. Maybe both. No, pastrami on rye is Pipeworks. Ham on rye is Three Floyds.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That is a smoky meat filled beer.
It's like a meat product that you drink.
Right. If you're a vegetarian, can you have that?
I don't like that feeling. I don't want the feeling of processed meat when I'm drinking beer.
I'm not kidding. I dig it.
You know, they were like, yo, the last beer they did with smoked malts was Gravedigger Billy, which is like a Scotch Ale.
Yeah.
So this is an interesting take on a stout. When you think milk stout, you don't really get excited, you know?
Yeah, but it feels like a holiday beer to me too, or a winter beer. Yeah.
So the can work is really good. And then also the way they blended these malts, you know, all these different malts, it makes it more interesting than just like, you know, left-hand milk stout.
Yeah, sure.
So,
was there, did you ever say this, was there a favorite out of the three?
You know, it's tight. You know, I was with Afro Beer Chick. You know, we poured hers, you know, kept mine.
Okay.
And, you know, just poured them all. I had three big cups and just looking at them side by side and going through them and then going through them again the other direction. I'm just like, shit. These are all really good, man. Damn, these are all really good. Like,
we're probably going to do a video of, you know, one or two of them. So
yeah, I was,
what we open up here will be a test.
Often when I'm, you know, when I'm, straitjacket is a good activity beer for me. You know, after work, I just want to be overwhelmed. I get a straitjacket. But oftentimes, man, you know, straitjacket is a little too sweet, a little too thin sometimes.
Okay.
But so I think Rye Way is my favorite beer that they make. I love Rye Way. And I think that's what's me causing me to say that this is the strongest of the three that have come out this year.
So. Okay.
Yeah. So.
Damn. All right. Well, yeah, I'm excited. I feel like I'm more excited to try the maple.
Yeah, that's the one that's definitely the most surprising.
Like Dark Mode, I know what a milk stout in bourbon barrels is going to taste like.
Yeah. So. I wanted to ask, you know, what inspired this whole rye way thing, rye wine thing, because I don't know much about. There's no roadmap for local rye wines, you know? Like maybe 10 years ago, Three Floyds and McKellar had a rye wine. It was a collab. They had a rice wine, and then they followed that with a rye wine. Yeah. This was a while ago. And, you know, Goose Clybourne had, like, a Roggen beer on, which is like a rye ale.
Yeah.
You know, just a random pub beer, not packaged or nothing. But other than that, there's no reference points locally for these fucking rye beers. So I'm like, how did you end up? They're so good. They're good. But why are you making them?
Why did you pick rye?
Yeah. Hmm. Curious. Maybe it was a different kind of rye berries they had that inspired it. I don't know. I didn't get around to asking that.
Okay, nice. But
I'm curious.
Cool. We're recording these on whatever the date, Thursday, the 9th.
Yeah.
These are released on Friday the 10th.
Right.
Right. And then they have their party.
Oh,
yeah. The, like, different beers and releases. Like, you had the Razzle Dazzle a few months ago, and I'm sure they have some special ones coming out this time.
Yeah. Linette's, which I think is like a 5-year-old. It was named after the drummer from Thin Lizzy.
Wow.
And Linette's. And then it's, yeah, they got some crazy, wacky variants. And I think something from the Sanctuary for the first time this year.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. So the Sanctuary is where they just put together, they put aside barrels they think are their most special barrels. And, yeah.
You going to go?
Well, I mean, Saturday. I feel good about a Saturday romp there, you know? Because Friday is a little much for me, man.
Get off, finish work, and then,
you know,
it gets turned up.
You know? So I like the Saturday romp a little more, but we'll see.
Okay. Cool. All right. Well, yeah, get over there, pick up some of these beers, pick up some of the other like limited releases if you go to the party. Cool. Well, I also went to the Revolution Brew Pub last week.
Speaking of Rev.
I don't really know what sparked it, but the one on Milwaukee.
Yeah, the original pub, man.
I was just like, I haven't been there. I definitely haven't been there since the pandemic, and I don't remember the last time I was there before the pandemic.
I couldn't tell you the last time I was there.
So went there for lunch, had a beer, and the menu, like most places going to them now, it is way smaller. Mm-hmm. It's basically you had the choice of three different burgers and a salad. That was like what you could get.
Shit is real out here, Brad.
Yeah. Oh, they had a club sandwich. I got a club sandwich. I didn't feel like a burger.
You get the club sandwich, this guy. This guy's with the fucking club sandwich. Okay.
But their burger is pretty tasty. Oh, but they changed their burger. It's now a two-patty burger, like, you know,
a small cheval
kind of thing.
Okay.
Yeah. Which the person I was with, he got it. He said it was good, but he liked the old burger, too. He's like, this one's not. It's good, but it's not better or worse than the previous burger.
Yeah, just quit fucking with it.
I guess.
Leave the burger alone.
The people fell in love with those stupid, like, flat top, what are they called? Like the griddle top burger.
Yeah, yeah, griddle top double burger.
Mm-hmm.
There's a ton of joints like that, smash burgers.
A smash burger, yeah.
Yeah.
Which, all right, that's fine.
That's fine. Yeah. I like a smash burger.
And then I forget what beer I forget what beer I had, but it was something on tap. The tap list was, I felt like it was a little limiting.
Yeah.
But, yeah, we don't have any napkins up here.
I was going to try to get it up, man.
So that was a nice little afternoon stop.
Mm-hmm.
And then, what else? I hit up another brew pub. I went over to Ravinia. Not the suburban.
Highland Park?
Not Highland Park.
Oh, Diversey. Yep. We've been to Diversey.
Uh-huh.
Right on.
The main place. We kind of went there for brunch, and I regret not getting the breakfast tacos. I got, like, the regular tacos. They're good. But then I was like, I never had the breakfast tacos. Why didn't I do that?
I don't know, man.
So I messed up there. And then we sat on the swing, which is fun, but incredibly annoying.
After like 5 minutes, you're like, okay, I just want to sit at a
table.
Yeah,
we almost moved, but then, so like, I will just deal with it, but never again will I sit at the swings.
I like a nice swing, man. You know who's got a swing?
But it's hard while you're eating.
That's true. This other place. It's the place that you pour your own beer in Wicker Park, right next to the train tracks. Milwaukee and North.
Oh, yeah.
Whatever that's called.
It's not the Navigator. That's the other one.
Yeah. They got a swing.
But
it's the first thing I do is get a beer and go sit in the swing.
But is there a table in front of you, or you just sit at the swing?
That's true. It's just a swing. So it's those benches at Ravinia, but no table.
Yeah, I feel like they work without the table. Like, if you just want to sit there and have a beer and just, like, chit-chat with someone on basically a porch swing, cool.
Yeah.
It's very hard to eat on a swing, and then you're it's an awkward height. I don't know.
I can see that.
But the beer was good. Maeve got a Bloody Mary. They have a nice Bloody Mary. Had some tacos. They had a taco special that I missed out on. It was octopus and chorizo.
Mm.
I should have done that. I messed up. I got
What the fuck are you doing? What did you order?
I went fish taco, chicken, and pork.
You missed out on all the cool tacos.
I know.
These are things. The things you got are the things you can make at the house.
And the things I can get all the time.
I'm saying.
Going to Ravinia.
Come on.
Why didn't I get the breakfast tacos?
I don't know, man. You got to get the stuff you can only get there, man.
What time was it? It was like 1:30. Because it was like that brunch time. Because brunch is like till like 3 on the weekends.
Yeah.
I was like, do I feel like eggs still? Is it still in eggs? Or am I in like...
This is definitely the old man podcast right here. This is definitely the old man beer podcast.
Am I ready for... Do I want lunch or is it still breakfast time? That was my dilemma. And I decided lunch.
Okay.
So I have to go back and get the breakfast tacos.
Oh my God.
Nope. It was pretty empty. It was like super easy to get into.
Yeah.
With the parking lot. And then, I don't know, it's brunch. You expect like it to be kind of busy? Nah.
Okay. It's good to know, though.
Yeah.
Because I'm not really into, like, seeing a gang of fucking people. No. I just kind of want the whole place to myself.
It wasn't the whole place to yourself. There was people there, but it was like...
But you felt very comfortable just you and whoever you came with.
Yeah.
You didn't feel overwhelmed.
No.
That's me. That's where I want to be.
So, I had the...
I want to go to there.
Yeah. So, it was good. Had their, I think, their session pale.
And so. Which is clutch, man. With Diversey Station?
Yeah.
Shit is good.
Mm-hmm.
One of the better beers I've had all year.
Damn.
Diversey Station? Every time I drink it. We drank it there. I get the 4-pack, drank it again. And every time we go, I think I've had it.
Mm-hmm. We're coming up to the end of the year we did like that episode where we did our halfway.
Yeah.
Favorite beers. We're going to have to.
Diversey Pale is a solid option. 4.5%, they squoze. I was going to say they squoze a lot of flavor into it. I don't know where the fuck that came from. Small beer, big flavor, and good. Good fucking beer.
Oh, man. Diversity Station might be in the top for 2021.
Yeah. So, wow. Right on, man.
Bold.
Yeah, man. Cheers to that whole crew. Those guys are swell. I like those guys.
Yeah. Nice. And then my third brew pub stop of the week was Haymarket.
Man, they were West Loop before West Loop was cool, man.
Mm-hmm. Went there last night, Wednesday night. Went for some drinks for a meetup. I didn't really look at the menu. Some people got food, but most people were just drinking. I went Speaker Wagon Pills.
There you go.
They're Kolsch and...
Matthias?
No, a Mosaic Pale Ale.
Okay.
That was nice.
Hmm.
I didn't see Matthias on.
That's a double IPA for your ass right there.
Mm-hmm. No, I try to keep it lower at these meetups so you can drink, you know.
Yeah.
A few beers without being like, ah.
Yeah, because even now, like, this is 8% beer, 7%, and I'm feeling really good. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, two of these and I'd be, like, off my ass ready for, like, snacks.
Right. So I want, like, at least three beers to equal other people's two beers.
No, for
like,
sure. I'm good. Yeah, no, I hear that.
Yeah. So that was a nice stop. Jana was working, so got to see her and hang out there for a bit. Beers are, you know, the beers are solid at Haymarket. They're not anything you're going to always want to pick up, but when you're there, they're all enjoyable.
Yeah, I think Haymarket's not downtown. It's technically West Loop on the other side of the highway. Mm-hmm. But I mean, it's the best of, you know, if you count it as a, it's one of the better central Chicago options.
Yeah.
You know.
And they were open till 10:30, which is, it's tough to find a restaurant beer place open till 10:30 these days. So yeah. They kicked us out and then we went over to Lone Wolf afterwards.
The unofficial Three Floyds pub.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And they're open till 2 still.
Oh, nice.
Which is crazy. Like, I don't know who's out till 2 these days.
You know, everybody that's, you know, all those condos that got built over there.
Yeah. I almost got an Alpha Claws because Christmas time.
That's OG shit right there.
But then I saw Crankshaft.
Okay.
I was like, I'm going to get a Crankshaft. I didn't bother looking at the price. Dude comes back. He's like, $9.
For a local lager.
I'm not going to, like, argue with these prices. Right, I might be like, oh, I don't want it then, because it did. I looked back and the menu said $8, so he was charging me $9. I don't know if he was like skimming money off here or just upcharging. And
he's waiting on you to say, he's waiting on you to correct him.
He's like, oh, I thought it was $8. And so I gave him a 10. So basically, I paid $10 for a Crankshaft in an odd looking cup.
It's the kind of cup you would find when you go visit your aunt.
Yeah. You
know, it's the kind of cups that like are been in people's families for generations.
Yeah, they're like, they are solid cups.
Yeah.
I don't know why people don't get rid of them. They're ugly as fuck. But they're like sturdy as cups.
It's definitely not a beer cup. It's like a dining set cup.
Right.
From like the late 70s or early 80s or something.
You probably remember someone in your family like drinking milk out of.
Yeah.
Like big fucking glass of milk. It's like, goddamn.
It's a very odd cup. It's some funny shit.
So $10 for a Crankshaft. So I can get a 12 or a 6-pack of Crankshaft.
Welcome to West Loop, brother.
For $12, right? Isn't Crankshaft?
Yeah.
Maybe even $9.99.
I mean, you know, we were saying this last week on our live call. It's like, you know, the cost of everything is going up. You know, everything costs.
The but cost Metro of, isn't charging them more.
No. They're taking the liberty of saying, hey, you owe us more money because we're in business and we're on the front lines, essentially. Yeah.
So I'm not going to Lone Wolf ever again. Also, it kind of makes me be like, I'm good just getting beer and going to people's houses.
It promotes off-premise drinking.
Yeah.
Crazy-ass on-premise prices promotes that.
It's like, okay, yeah. Sure, they have great cocktails at Lone Wolf.
It is a premium. Getting out the house is a premium nowadays. Yeah. And I think they recognize that, and they're all over taking advantage of it.
Right, because if you didn't live over there, you had to take a Lyft or Uber. You took the train, maybe.
Yeah.
You paid to go there, so you're there for basically a good time, so you're not really that worried about the price.
But you wanted to get out, and they're like, listen, it's going to cost you now.
Yeah. Or stay. I'm good then. I'm going to stay home.
Brad's like, you know, the crib's comfortable. I'm just going to get this and go home.
I want to go to the place where I can get food and beer. And then I feel like, okay, that's worth it. But I don't think I want to go to just the, like, cocktail beer bar anymore. If it's going to be $9 for a Crankshaft.
I only go out when I know my wife wants to argue with me and she won't yell at me in public.
Mm. So I feel like paying
give me the $10 Crankshaft.
$9 for some other things isn't as bad, because it was probably like $9 for an Alpha Claws. Okay. But Crankshaft, I was a little like, I should have just got an Old Style for $3. Done it right.
High Life.
High Life was $5.
It's a champagne of beers. It says it right on the bottle. It's the champagne of beer.
So that was my experience for the week. Ended with a crankshaft, an overpriced crankshaft. But the rest were pretty good highlights.
But you know, you had a story to tell.
Yeah. So what about you? You were like right over there at Cruz Blanca.
Fucking
right?
Hey, man. I saw Brad out and I'm like, man, I gotta go out. So yeah, I ended up
at the other taco place.
Went to the other taco place, Cruz Blanca, you know, I was looking for the Luchador series. Didn't see any of those.
Did you have them?
I didn't see them.
I saw them at Benny's.
Yeah? Yeah? Maybe that was it. Maybe they sold them all at Benny's. But they did not have them. They were pouring 2019 Tarzan Boy.
Okay.
So that's rum barrels with like banana and Mexican coffee and what else? Oh, Mexican sugar and vanilla.
Okay.
So, and they were pouring it in like little 6 ounce cups. But it had the little Mexican wrestler mask on it. That was cool.
On the cup?
Yeah.
Oh, that's neat.
I'm like, man, if I had, give me two of these and a bottle of the 2021 and I'm happy.
Yeah.
But no, nothing. I just had to try it on pour.
And you took the cup?
I didn't take the cup. Because then I had a beer. I'm like, shit, if I had the beer, I'd have took the cup. But I tell you what I had that was good, man. They're really going out their way with these corn lagers. So they had something called a red corn lager. And it's like 100% red corn, right? Which, you know, corn wasn't always yellow. Like corn used to be like multicolored and when it's indigenous and it was like before it was, you know, GMO, before it was like mass produced, you know, heirloom corn was like blue and green and, you know, all these different colors. So they have a red corn that they get from a producer in Indiana. So they have a red corn lager on and then they have a grisette with corn.
Okay.
So that was my favorite one that night. 4.5%. It comes in a little bottle. You know, the little bomber bottle, a little cute one.
Yeah.
16 ounce, 16.9 actually, just like the Goose bottles.
Okay.
It was just called Corn Grisette, which isn't very, you know, the way they name stuff is a
table
little.
Table beer.
Yeah. It was a table beer. And they use the house Saison yeast.
Oh, interesting.
So it's a Brett, 4.5% corn.
Grisette.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah, it is fantastic stuff.
Multicolored corn. Diverse corn.
It was really good. This was something, man. Because, you know, it had a nice little funk, little sweet, tart thing that Saisons do.
Yeah.
But then as it went on, it got a little richer and sweeter because of the corn.
Hmm.
I was like, what the fuck is this? You know, and it was just such a bizarre combination, and it was so good. I was like, yo, that's my favorite one.
Okay.
So I had those three beers there.
Is corn the next like trendy
corn food, lager?
Or like trendy food where people are like, oh no, we only have red corn chips here.
Yeah, like, and you know, like, we have lagers, but I have to warn you, it's a corn lager.
Okay.
You know.
Or I was saying just like food wise, like we only do red corn fed chickens.
We're out of blue corn chickens. We got the red corn chickens.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was interesting because I've never heard of red corn.
You know? I've seen red corn, but it's usually like smaller or like I see it, you know, you see it like decorative.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. So cheers to Cruz Blanca. You know, just doing some downtown shit. So I ended up at really one of the oldest breweries in Chicago under the radar, fucking Rock Bottom.
Okay.
So I think, if I got this right, Rock Bottom was home of the first Phobat, right?
It wasn't Pete Crawley's garage?
I thought it was, well, he was the brewer at Rock Bottom when Phobat started. And I think the story was, you know, we did this upstairs and people thought it was a joke because it happened to be Friday 13th.
I feel like that was maybe April like Fool's the second one.
Okay.
But
so,
I could be wrong.
I'm at Rock Bottom, Grand and State, right downtown. You know, their patio in the summer is actually very nice.
Right.
Yeah, very nice. The plunge, the winter plunge fest, right?
Oh, yeah.
They do a winter, like a polar beer fest. They do that at Rock Bottom. And, you know, Haley Shine, who used to be the brewmaster at Aris, she was from there. We talked about Crowley. It's just kind of this place that no one talks about, but it's sitting right there. And then the early days of beer in Chicago, so they got all these fucking plaques from, like, the Brew Pub Shootout and Phobab and... You know, they have this very cool kind of multi-level building.
Yeah.
So, you know, I was there and, you know, give me the IPA. Give me the barrel-aged stout. They got a barrel-aged stout in Heaven Hill barrels for like, you know, 35 months.
Shit. Okay. Tastes good?
Pretty good. You know, I didn't have, you know, very high expectations, you know, good, but man, kind of had this like very nice kind of black walnut thing on the nose.
Okay.
And when I drank it, I'm like, hey, nothing about this bothers me. Mm. Like, it's just good. You know, chocolate, barrel, oak.
Nice.
It was good.
Huh.
Booze. It was good.
I haven't been, we used to do meetups there a lot at Rock Bottom, and I haven't been, yeah, in a long time either. Just,
yeah.
I'm not downtown. You were there. Basically, Kitty Corner is crushed by Giants, right?
It's true. It's like a couple blocks up. Yeah, or something. Which way is it? It's east of there. So, yeah.
It's like one block.
Like a block east.
Yeah. So, I haven't been down there in a long time. Like, just going to the West Loop for Haymarket, it was like, oh, man, there's a lot of people. Like,
yeah.
Not venturing as you stay in your little bubble or pocket area, you're like, oh, what? There's a lot of people down here. What's everyone doing?
Yeah. First thing I noticed, you know, it's 20 degrees out and the bar is completely full. So I got to sit in a booth. But then I'm like, all these people are for sure from out of town. And, you know, I actually brought this up to the Rev guys when we were picking up samples. I was like, you know, it'd be nice if it was a Haymarket or not Haymarket, if it was a Half Acre or a Rev present for people who visiting from out of town over there.
Yeah.
And they were just like, you know, Crushed by Giants is a restaurant that sells beer. And, you know, there's the taxes and the property is very, it's a very steep entry fee to do that for some of these other crews. It's just not advantageous for them.
Yeah.
Okay. But so, you know, so you end up with the Rock Bottoms and the whoever else is over there, you know, Adam Streets and shit like that.
Yeah.
But yeah, I wanted to check it out. I mean, downtown. So, oh, the guy serving us, they had a Christmas ale on that he was a part of. And he tried to tell us, I'm like, how long has this joint been here? You know,
Rock Bottom?
Yeah. He's like, oh, you know, it's been here since Prohibition. We've been here since the 50s.
What? It says Prohibition since the 50s.
I'm just like, I don't believe any of this.
Two things didn't work out.
Sir. Sir, I don't believe any of this. You look up Rock Bottom. Rock Bottom started in 1990 in Denver.
Yeah.
So this location had to be after that.
Right.
So we're going to go early 90s. Still don't know when, but we'll say early 90s for now.
Probably in that, I know someone like Jonathan Surratt talks about like this 90s craft beer boom.
Yeah.
That was the first one, and that's probably when Rock Bottom came in.
Yep.
And they survived or lasted. So.
Yeah. So, but you know, I enjoyed my trip. I thought you know, they gave us, you know, a couple, they gave us like four beers a sample, and you know, everything was solid.
Yeah.
So.
And it's busy, so that's good for them.
I wanted to sit at the bar because, you know, you take more pictures at the bar.
Yeah.
More stuff's happening. The backdrops looks better. Mm-hmm. So I was trying to sit at the bar, but no, it wasn't happening. No. And we're talking like a Tuesday night or some shit.
I don't think, similar to the Haymarket, Rock Bottom, they don't have like a logo on their glass, right?
Not on the samplers. On the pint that was the Rock Bottom.
Oh, for Haymarket, they don't have a picture. They don't have any sort of logo on their glass. That's true. You are hurting yourself from like someone like us taking a picture of being here drinking.
It's harder to get that nice proper still photo without the logo.
Right, because it could just be, I could take a picture of the glass at Lone Wolf and it looks better.
You should have took the Lone Wolf. I, you know, it's funny. I kind of like the glass. I don't like $10 crankshaft. I kind of like the glass.
Yeah.
Just because it's some old man hipster bullshit. It's funny.
Nice. Rock Bottom. Yeah. I like it. Cool. What else? Any other stops? I think that was all we posted.
Yeah, I think so, man.
Did a good little run.
Yeah. You know, I got to reference the photos because there's other stuff I wanted to mention. But, up in Evanston, Temperance is doing their barrel-aged stout release.
Oh, those like...
Might Meets Right?
Right.
Yeah, Might Meets Right. So there's a High West, La Sorpresa, Praline, and Orange Chocolate.
Hmm.
So that's coming up. Big Hugs is tomorrow. You saw that?
I thought it happened today.
Yeah, the previews and shit was today.
Oh, you could get a glass.
Oh, Big Soy's today?
It was today, I think. I'm very confused. Half Acre is very confusing with what they're doing right now because, one, there's like a benthic every like 5 days.
So benthic was definitely today. Like,
but there's a new benthic.
I mean, the opportunity to buy it without buying the whole.
The whole enchilada.
The whole enchilada. Yeah.
But I don't know. Like, I just see a picture, and I didn't know it was happening. I don't know why I would want this benthic over the previous benthic. I don't know anything about it.
Yeah, it was one of the four, so it was extra double.
But what is there, a benthic every 5 days or every week? There's a benthic that gets released that if you didn't buy them all and you already had them, every week for a month you have a chance to buy them?
There's no drumbeat to it, but you could buy extra double this week, just a four pack, without buying the enchilada.
Okay.
And yeah, it was just kind of almost a surprise drop. Like, they didn't really mention anything else.
Okay.
So that was kind of weird. I do agree with that.
Because there was something else last Friday that sold out pretty early.
At Half Acre?
At Half Acre. Was it benthic or...
Like another variant of benthic?
Yeah, you'd have to look at their like Facebook feed.
They're like, sorry, we're sold out.
It was like, maybe I'll go up there. And then I looked again. They're like, oh, nope, we're sold out. I don't think it was... Maybe it was a benthic. But yeah, it seems like every week there's a benthic. And then Big Hugs... I don't understand. There's no variants, right? It's just Big Hugs, coffee stout.
Yeah, because they're doing a flight, and you could get the flight is just a vertical, 19, 20, 21 hugs, and bags of coffee for $25. Okay. I drink the coffee.
I'm gonna say the vertical is gonna suck.
It's a coffee stout.
Yeah.
Not something you typically vertical.
No.
Yeah.
I'm sure I still have a can or a bottle of one of the Big Hugs.
Oh, yeah, you're right. They did rum coconut solo. You can get a two-pack of rum coconut benthic.
Last week.
Yeah. And then this week you can do the extra double benthic, two-pack. So it looks like they're running them all individually. The four variants, they might be just running through them all.
Mm-hmm.
Individually,
but they're all done. They're just sitting there and they're just doing a rev thing, but literally not telling anybody. It's just like, today, get this.
That's their thing, right? That's kind of their thing.
Yeah, so I just I have no time to like think about going.
Yeah,
and then by the time I think of like, it's like, oh, we're sold out. It's like, all right, well, cool. I don't know, good for you. You didn't need me.
Good for you.
Yeah.
I saw Wine Enthusiasts. They talked about the top 50 beers they drank all year.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Wine Enthusiasts, 415,000 Facebook followers.
Okay. So two, bots. So like mostly Russians and bots?
Solid amount of bots. Solid amount. That's a good amount of bots there.
That's a good amount of bots.
Yeah. So I only brought it up. 33 on this list is the Dovetail Helles, mm-hmm. from Dovetail, obviously. And then at number 16 was Jolly Pumpkin's BAM Beer Farmhouse Ale.
They've never drank that before in their life?
These are the best things they drink all year. So, yeah, I saw that.
That beer has been around for like a decade.
It's true. That is a very old style. And, you know, what is it? What is BAM? Oh, it's a farmhouse. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, you know, crews that can do a farmhouse and keep the body light and keep the, you know, the fun nuances of the farmhouse style, kind of like that thing I had at Cruz Blanca.
Yeah.
I mean, those things will never get old, man, because it's beer, but it's not quite a sour. It's somewhere in between like a sour and a wheat ale and a Belgian.
Yeah.
It's like it's somewhere right in the middle. It's so, I mean, they're just fucking good, man, you know. So I saw that. Yeah.
Nice. So there's a couple standouts we know. A couple other things in the news. District Brew Yards is buying the old Ram.
How cool is that?
In Wheeling.
Shout out to Bulldog. They celebrated 5 years.
Yeah. We don't know if
last week or so.
With Bulldog, we don't know if District Brew Yards, if the breweries go with the new location.
That's true. It could be a rotating thing. The District Brew Yards crew, I think
I'm sure Burnt City will be at not the Wheeling one.
I think Burnt City is the incumbent brewery because their brewer brews all the other beers for everyone that's at Brew Yards. So I'm sure they make they're the decision-making brewery, for lack of a better term.
But it would probably be in their like best interest to have four other breweries at this location.
That's very possible. Or
three other ones.
Yeah, because it would definitely be them.
Yeah.
Oh, and then, yeah, what do? You make it local, right?
Right.
Yeah. I'm very interested to see how that works.
And it sounds like they were moving very fast on it, where they're like, yeah, we'll be open by middle of 2022. Like, all right.
Sure. You know? Sure. Yeah, get this money, Brad.
But that RAM has been empty for a long time now.
Yeah.
So.
Huh. Yeah. Good for them, man.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I like Brew Yards. Yeah. We talk about underrated. This Begaw Christmas Ale and Brew Yards.
Brew Yards in general.
Two of the most underrated things in the city right now.
Shit.
Yeah, those are both good things.
Okay. And then the last bit of news, we'll end on a downer.
Mm-hmm. That's kind of our thing.
Hailstorm.
We get all sauced up, and then we bring out the things.
Yeah, you going back for another one?
I mean, I'll share one. I don't know if I can take a whole one.
Yeah. We don't have to drink it. You don't have to drink the whole thing.
I will try one, though.
Hailstorm, they're out. We're done with it. Right?
Co-owner and head brewer at Hailstorm was outed on sexual assault charges, unfortunately. In a Facebook group, and
not unfortunately that he was out. He shouldn't have. Unfortunately, he did that.
Yeah, the whole scenario is unfortunate. Yeah. That is what I meant. Not like, oh, you got caught. Unfortunately, that's not what I meant. This is why we can't end the show with this shit. But yeah, he was on the board for the Illinois Craft Brewers Guild, and this apparently happened in August at Great Taste of the Midwest at Paradise Club.
Okay.
You know, Paradise Lounge, which is really like, you know, kind of the official after party spot.
Okay.
So, yeah, apparently he assaulted a woman there who was like someone he had been partying with all day. So, that happened in August. Everyone got word of it in December. And now he's out of ownership, out of brewing, and off the board at the guild.
Damn. So. I feel like that doesn't seem very fast, August to November. Who knows? Like maybe
that's a good amount of time.
But it's pretty. The whole thing seemed like it moved pretty quick. They're like, all right, this happened, and you're fucking out.
Yeah.
Like there wasn't any like. I feel like in a lot of cases, be like, no, that wasn't me.
But I think he kind of, you know, it was the Facebook group kind of outed him, and then he added a comment saying, yeah, that unfortunately this is true.
Hmm.
Like, yeah, that was me. You know, yeah, I did that.
Damn.
So, that sucks all the way around. You know, a lot of dudes in beer, a lot of dudes that don't know how to act in beer because there's not a lot of women in beer.
Sure.
And, you know, people get, you know, and then men are gross, you know. I don't know what else to say there.
Yeah, people do weird things. Even guys do weird things to other guys, too, even if they're like friends, this is like weird sometimes.
Yeah.
And you don't know how to act to other people.
You know, it's, you know, when you get fucked up, the real you is on display, mm-hmm. you know? And, you know, and now we're in a day and age where, you know, the real you is gonna, you know, everyone's gonna know the real you if you do some shit you ain't got no business doing.
Feel like with the pandemic, you should just live it like that and be like, yo, pandemic, you know, touch or like you stay a decent distance from most people. And you're going to be safe. You're good on both levels. You're not going to catch the shit, and you're not going to get, like, they touched me, they did this, or they talked to whatever.
So, yeah.
Just play it pandemic style.
Good for them. Good for them.
Smart way.
The people who got, the woman who got harassed, good for her for speaking up. And good for people for talking about it, because there's a ton of times where this shit happens and don't nobody say shit.
Right. So that's good.
So, yeah. Let's see more of that. You know,
the rest of the Hailstorm team, hopefully it doesn't like hurt them too much, because the beers are hit or miss for us.
Were saying it's the they're the short fuse before short fuse.
Yeah, they have those Vlad series and sometimes they're good, sometimes but I don't ever have them.
I like the coconut one. Coconut was my jam. Hailstorm, maybe 2017 or so, I want to say, Maybach took a silver medal at JBF, and that same year, Prairie Madness, their double IPA, took a silver medal at JBF.
Okay.
And they were darlings for a second because they were a super new brewery and they were doing some pretty powerful stuff there at the fest. So change of direction out at in Tinley Park, and that was the site of FOBAB at home. All your FOBAB at home. If you paid the $70 or whatever, you get this, you know, 12 pack of random, you know, anonymous beers. But the pickup location was Hailstorm.
Yeah, maybe that helped make sure it all this moved very quickly. That the guild was sort of intertwined with Hailstorm and the president, and is it the second person, or not the vice president, but someone else? They're both women.
Chairman of the board.
Yeah, but they're both women that are head of
Chief Yahoo.
I don't know
The big kahuna?
I don't know what the...
I have no fucking idea.
But I know the president is. She's from... what's the brewery in... She's in a brewery in the Burbs, right? She was giving FOBAP awards.
Oh, Katie.
Yeah.
I think she's just guild. I don't know if she's affiliated with a brewery. Oh, but, dude, she was the MC at FOBAP this year.
Yeah.
That's Katie.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I feel like maybe that helped also make sure, like, you know, you had someone in charge that was a woman, so it's like, we gotta fucking get this done.
Yeah.
He's out.
Women get shit done. Yeah. That's a fact. They multitask very well, and they get shit done.
Mm-hmm. Oh, all right. Not much of a bummer. It sucks.
No, it's fine. We cleaned it up nice.
Yeah. Cool. Anything else before we get out of here with our Christmas ale?
I think that's it, man. I think we said it all, man.
Cool. And then we're going to do a video with... maybe one or two of these Rev beers.
Right on.
So look for that on YouTube. But yeah, Nick, where can people find you, get in touch if we're not here?
Right on, man. I'm on Twitter, at Nicosio.
I'm on Twitter, BRAD, Chicago Beer Pass, website, chicagobeerpass.com. Episodes get posted there. And we'll be back next week with another episode. Take care.
Cheers.